Good morning. We now present the Bible for Today News Report of the Air, heard every Tuesday and Thursday mornings at 8:30 over this same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today, with offices at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. Your speakers on the broadcast today are Dr. and Mrs. D.A. Waite of the Bible for Today staff. We believe Hebrews 4:12, which states, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." We invite you to join us every Tuesday and Thursday mornings at 8:30 as we seek to use the word of God, the Bible, and apply first century Christianity to the problems of today. For your free copy of our catalog of materials and Why the Bible for Today, and also a Bible for Today news report, write a card or letter to Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. And now, our poem. Mrs. Waite, give us the title, please.
It's called The King's Daughter. And by the way, this poem was written for me by my mother, Gigi Sanborn.
From Psalm 45, 13. The King, immortal, eternal, the ruler of heaven and earth, has left me the care of his daughter since the day of her spiritual birth.
She was born one day through believing in Jesus, the son of his love. She now is one of his family. Her citizenship is above.
She lives here, a pilgrim, a stranger, a princess, joint heir with his son, to grow up in wisdom and knowledge until her short stay here is done.
The king gave a book of instructions for type, admonition, and thought. He expects me to see that she learns them and to see that she's carefully taught.
A wonderful, wonderful privilege the king has given to me to teach her the language of heaven and to walk and behave mannerly.
You are this princess, my daughter. You're fair as the morning to me. You're sweet as the fragrance of flowers, all glorious within. You must be.
Why, Gertrude G. Sanborn, do you want a copy of that? Write us for it. Bible for Today, 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. Thank you, Mrs. Waite, for helping on that. Now, the Bible, personal dedication. Would you open your Bibles, please, with us to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. And part D of that verse, the final part of Galatians 2:20, will be covered today. The verse states, "I am crucified with Christ." Paul is writing this. The apostle, the one who loved the Lord Jesus as his Savior, the one who was a rebellious Jewish leader who refused to trust Christ as his Savior, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, out to persecute the Christians. And all of a sudden, the Lord Jesus met him on the road to Damascus. And now he is turned about, saved, and set free from sin. And he can say, "I am crucified with Christ." What does he mean by that? Here Paul, living after the crucifixion, could say, "I am crucified with Christ." Then he says the next phrase, "Nevertheless, I live." And then the following phrase, "Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God," or the faith in the Son of God. Now notice this last phrase. This is the one we want you to pay heed to this morning. "Who loved me and gave himself for me." The Lord Jesus is said to have loved him, that is Paul, and have given himself for him. Loved me and gave himself for me. This is the reason, Paul's reason, for personal dedication to his Savior. It's probably our own best reason for giving ourselves, spirit, soul, and body, to the absolute lordship of Jesus Christ. We can say with Paul, "Because he loved me." And that love was of such magnitude that he gave himself for me. Why should Jesus Christ, the holy, spotless Son of God, love me, who is described in the Bible as being a sinner, undone, dead in sins, without strength, without hope, alienated from God, lost, and a child of Satan? Why? I simply cannot understand it. I cannot fathom it. I can't grasp the meaning of it, but I firmly believe it because God wrote it in his infallible, inspired, inerrant Bible. Because of that love, that Jesus Christ also gave himself for me. That's why I can say thank you, Jesus, for all you've done. This took place on the cross of Calvary as he, the Lord Jesus, the sinless one, took my sins in his own body as my substitute. My friend, can I do less than give him my best and live for him completely after all he's done for me? By God's grace, may this be the determined will and purpose of our entire listening audience. Trust Jesus as your Savior. And if you don't know him as your Savior, trust him right now. And then live for him and dedicate your life to him. And now, for today, current comment for concerned Christians.
6 reasons against détente with Reds.
You know the Reds, the communists, want détente, a lessening of tension. Former Defense Secretary Melvin R. Laird cited 6 troubling actions against this whole concept of détente. Here they are. Quote, 1, USSR has violated agreements to limit strategic weapons. 2, the Soviet Union actively assisted North Vietnam in making a shambles of the Paris Peace Accords and overrunning South Vietnam. 3, the Soviet Union has reneged on its promise to guarantee unimpeded civilian access to West Berlin. 4, the Soviet Union is abetting terrorism and guerrilla warfare in the Middle East. 5, in Portugal, the Soviet Union is sponsoring a massive campaign to impose a communist regime subservient to the Kremlin. 6, the Soviet Union has engaged in a relentless effort to attain military supremacy. Unquote from Mr. Laird. And now, from the tent door.
We're continuing and finishing the reading of Zermatt, God's Mountain, and Me. Finally, my husband and I walked toward the Matterhorn, my breath catching with each step, looking up, high, craning my neck, shading my eyes from the sunshine, hearing the gush of rushing waters from the melting mountain snow. The wonder of it all, and to think that God loved me. My heart skipped a beat. What must heaven be like if earth be so beautiful? Heathen trek trails to groves on distant hills, worshipping false deities. They do not comprehend the creator of the crags and the crevices. Blinded by the very creation which should point them to the true God, they fail to cry with the psalmist, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Our 4 short hours in fantasy land ended. We left Zermatt hushed at its beauty. Perhaps it was better that we were separated by an early train departure from the gospel singer Bev Shea. We really are in 2 different theological camps, you know. He was returning to his exquisite hotel, and we to our weekend flea bag.
Thank you, Mrs. Waite. That's our trip to Zermatt to the International Congress on World Evangelization. And now, from our readers.
From Wisconsin.
I sent for some books on Carl McIntyre. I would like to know why you broke away from working with McIntyre. As a Christian, I want to be a supporter of the right program. I want our money to go to the right place.
From Tennessee.
I thoroughly enjoy BFT, and I share with all my friends the things that I read from the paper.
From Texas.
What a vivid word picture Mrs. Waite gave in August of the Alps and the train ride. That is real talent, and of course I agree. That's, of course, my good wife, Mrs. Waite, who's just read From the Alps and the Matterhorn and Zermatt. And now, our order blank, the Bible. Perhaps today you'd like to order one of these 2 items from our order blank on the Bible. A gift of $1. Ask for number 339, gift offer 339, which is the Gospel of John. This is by the Great Company. A special edition, King James Version, 90 pages, edited by Dr. D.O. Fuller, with a foreword by Dr. Joseph M. Stoll, a clear arrangement of the phrases and the verses in this Gospel of John. A tremendous book. Send us a gift of $1 and request gift offer number 339, the Gospel of John. Then maybe you'd perhaps like to send us a gift of a dollar and ask for gift offer number 340. Ask for 10 copies of number 340, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, An Ecclesiastical Separation by Dr. G. Archer Weniger. 6 pages, tract size, excellent quotations on Spurgeon's separatist stand. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, An Ecclesiastical Separation. Gift, 10 copies for $1. Ask for gift offer number 340. And now, Biblical Defense. We were talking a while ago about the New Testament majority Greek text, defended, and keeping that which is committed to our trust. We were discussing Dr. Al Martin's review of John Burgon's textual method, and we began to look at Westcott and Hort and their plan of foisting their altered Greek text upon the revisers of 1881 in the American Revised Version. Westcott and Hort's secret text, first of all, was foisted upon the revisers. The Westcott and Hort plan of getting that text accepted was as follows. Here's what Al Martin said. Quote, Westcott and Hort had been working together on their text since 1853. In 1870, they printed a tentative edition for private distribution only. This they circulated under pledge of secrecy within the Company of New Testament Revisers, of which they were members, of which came the revised version of 1881. Now, unquote. There was no law, of course, against secrecy in distributing the Westcott and Hort Greek text. They were at perfect liberty legally to do so. However, from the standpoint of putting something over on the public of their day, 1881 or so, it leaves something to be desired as to their methods. They knew very well, I'm certain, that they should openly and publicly have circulated the Greek New Testament text for all to see, the public reaction. And if they had done that, and the scholarly reaction would have been so great that perhaps they would never have been able to put over their steamroller publicity stunt in favor of such a text, which formed the basis for the 1881 revised version in England, and of course our American revised version as well. Again, though legal, the element of secrecy seems to be somewhat underhanded. Had they nothing to hide, then, of course, they would have had no reason to do something in a corner. Well, so much for biblical defense. And now, our gospel declaration. Please turn to 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. 2 Corinthians 8, 9. Let's read together. In this verse, we see in the Apostle Paul's own words, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye, through his poverty, might be rich." The Apostle Paul is speaking here. He's telling the Christians at Corinth something concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what grace is, my friend? Grace is getting something you do not deserve. Grace is getting something you don't deserve. And there's not a single person in this whole universe that deserves heaven. But yet God in his matchless grace made it possible for you and for me to gain heaven. Jesus Christ, it says in this verse, though he was rich. What do we mean by that? Rich in glory, rich in heaven, rich in all the things of eternity. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes and my sake, as sinners, he became poor. That is, he went to Calvary's cross to die for us, that ye, through his poverty, might be rich. Because of his death, we can be saved and safe and eternally happy. Won't you trust Jesus tonight, today, and accept him as your Savior and Redeemer right now? Then write to us. We want to hear from you, our listeners in WIBF, all the ones in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware. Write us, Bible for Today, 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. Well, the time has come to say goodbye for today. Remember, tune in again next Tuesday, 8:30 in the morning, to the Bible for Today News Report of the Air. Write us for your free copy of our catalog, a news report, and why the Bible for Today. Just write Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. Until the next time, remember God's love story, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, and that includes you, my friend, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Once you receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior, now, good morning. We now present the Bible for Today News Report of the Air, heard every Tuesday and Thursday mornings at 8:30 over this same station and sponsored by the Bible for Today with offices at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. Your speakers on the broadcast today are Dr. and Mrs. D.A. Waite of the Bible for Today staff. We believe in Hebrews 4:12, which states, "The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." We invite you to join us every Tuesday and Thursday mornings at 8:30 as we seek to use the Word of God, the Bible, and apply first-century Christianity to the problems of today. Write us for your free copy of our catalog of materials and Why the Bible for Today, as well as our Bible for Today news report. Write us for our October news report or even our November news report, and we'll send you a sample. Write Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. And now, our poem. What's the title, honey?
No Time for Tears.
No time for tears, for I would serve Him. No time for tears, for night draws nigh. No tears today, for souls are dying. No times for weeping, no times to cry.
No time for tears, though I have sorrow. No time for tears, though I have loss. No time to mourn, for I have Jesus, and He will help me to bear my cross.
No time for tears, for He's my comfort. No time for tears, since He's my friend. No tears today to waste my hours, for I must hurry His word to send.
No time for tears, since He's my refuge. No time for tears to dim my eyes. No tears today, for it's time for working. No time to grieve or wonder why.
No time for tears, it's time for singing. No time for tears, it's time to praise. No time to spend in lonely sighing. No time for tears, no time to cry. By Gertrude G. Sanborn. Write us if you'd like a copy of this, and we want to hear from our listeners today. Write us, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. And now, the Bible, personal dedication. Would you turn, please, in your Bibles with us to Proverbs 23. Proverbs chapter 23 in the Old Testament and verse 26. One of the most penetrating verses in all the Bible, I think, is Proverbs 23:26. You know what it says? My son, give me thine heart. My son, give me thine heart. For the child of God, the believer in Jesus Christ, the saved one, the person who's born again by faith in Christ, my son, the Lord makes a request. My friend, if you know Christ as your Savior, He's requesting this of you. If you don't know Christ, trust Him right now. Would you do that for us? Trust Him right now. One, it's something voluntary. God tells us in His Word in this verse, give, give. The Lord does not force any of His children to obey this. Then notice the second thing, number two. It is something for the Lord Himself. He says, give me, give me. He is the one who wants this presented to Him. Then notice in the third place, it is something central. It's not peripheral. It's not eccentric or off-center. It's not offbeat. It's not out in the sticks somewhere. It's right down where we live. It's central. Give me thine heart. There's nothing more central, nothing more vital in our bodies than our heart that pumps the blood throughout the body. Then the fourth place, it's something personal. My son, give me thine heart. How personal it is, my friend. God wants your heart, your very own personal heart. He wants to make it His own dwelling place and home. In this verse, He does not ask us for our wealth, nor for our arm, nor our foot, nor our nose, nor our ear, or our tongue, or eye, or for our time, or for our talent, or for our possessions. All of these things He wants to be used for Him. But you know what He asks us for is our heart. With our heart in His full possession and full control, all the other things will be his. I get so fed up with half-hearted Christian faith. I'm impatient with it. I'm against it. I despise it. I cannot excuse it. Yet this seems to be the current fad. When I was first saved, my wife and I sang in answer to the song title, "What Shall I Give Thee, Master?" Master, that's what we call it. Not just a part or half of my heart. I shall give all to thee. And I see no need in 1975 or 1976 to revise these words for any age group in America. My son, give me thine heart. Trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior if you've never done so. And then write us. We'd love to hear from our listeners. Mr. White, who's going to write first, men or women, this week?
Well, I think that a couple's going to answer, Mr. and Mrs.
A couple, Mr. and Mrs. Well, I hope you're right. Let's see if you're right, or maybe it's just a man alone. What do you think?
Well, I think that they're going to be interested in hearing about some of our items, such as visitation in action for a dollar.
Good, good, okay. All right, now, for today, current comment for concerned Christians.
Italians return run red.
Communist influence has reached an all-time high, and the Reds now control Italy's principal cities, including Rome. That's something, isn't it, to be concerned of?
Solzhenitsyn against detente with Reds.
Alexander Solzhenitsyn told an audience brought together by AFL-CIO President George Meany, quote, "Communism poses the greatest threat to freedom in the history of the world. The only thing the Kremlin leaders understand is firmness," unquote. We certainly agree with that. And now, from the tent door, go right ahead, Mrs. Waite.
"Mirror, mirror on the wall." The shop owner was sitting on a chair in front of a television set. Finally, she stirred. Soon I realized that I knew her, often seeing her face mirrored in that of her daughter. "I see your daughter hanging out at the corner store near my home," I said. "Now I know why. It's because you are in this store all the time." "Do you know she smokes?" I asked. "Yes," was her nonchalant reply. The girl couldn't have been more than 14. "Knowing it," the mother continued, "and not objecting or making a fuss about it, has taken most of the fun from her." The mother confessed that she was a smoker herself. "Well," I said, sadly, "I guess you can't condemn in your daughter what you find in yourself, can you?" I left the shop with mixed emotions. Both of us were mothers. But our goals, our standards, our objectives for our offspring were vastly different. I wondered if our conversation had been of alcohol, drugs, premarital sex, stealing, or murder, what her attitude would have been. No wonder we born-again Christian parents have difficulty with our children.
Well, thank you very much, Mrs. Waite, for Mirror, Mirror on the Wall. To be continued, don't miss the next broadcast. And now, from our readers.
From New York.
I like the publication very much. May God bless your work for him.
From Michigan, an evangelist.
It broke my heart to read Bill Gothardism. You are a great man for God, and we want the whole world to know it. Your evaluations for our Lord and Savior are certainly the best. Keep up the good work. Well, thank you for these letters, but we want to hear from you. Will you write to us? Write today. Don't put it off. Write the Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. Do you appreciate these broadcasts? We've been on here now 3 or 4 weeks, and we want to hear from you in the local area where you can hear this broadcast. And tell your friends to tune in every Tuesday and Thursday at 8:30 in the morning. And now, our order blank for today. Maybe you'd like to write us for a couple of these items. We're featuring, first of all, our gift offer number 332. Write and send a gift of a dollar for 2 copies. Of number 332, Why We Do Not Support Billy Graham. My, that's a controversial one, isn't it? That's from Dr. Bob Jones, the third president of Bob Jones University, there in Greenville, South Carolina. 21 pages, why we do not support Billy Graham. If you want to get a copy of this, write us, send us a gift of $1, ask for gift offer 332 for two copies. And then, perhaps you'd like our gift offer number 333. Send a gift of $2.50 for American Policy Failures in Cuba by Mario Lazo. 447 pages, a book, How the Reds and the Communists Took Over in Cuba, our American Policy Failures, gift offer number 333. Send us a gift of $2.50, tax-exempt gift to the Bible for Today, 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. And now, Biblical Defense. We've been talking about the New Testament Greek text, majority Greek text defended. We believe that the majority Greek text that underlies our authorized King James Version is the best text possible. We've been reading about Westcott and Hort and their plan to foist a new Greek text different from the received text off upon an unsuspecting audience. Let me continue. The authorized version was not merely going to be revised, but the entire Greek text was to be revised as well. Dr. Al Martin explained, quote, "It soon became evident that the New Testament committee was not going to be content merely to revise the authorized version, but was determined to revise the underlying Greek text radically. Scrivener counted the number of changes in the underlying Greek text of the revised version from the authorized version as 5,788. Now, that's a lot of changes, isn't it? Note another dishonest and underhanded tactic used by the liberal, modernistic Westcott and Hort team. They had purported only to be in the business of revising the English text of the authorized version, the King James, of 1611, when commissioned to do their work. But in actual point of fact, they set about to undertake their secret longing for many years of substituting their own Greek text for the majority Greek text, which had stood the test of centuries of acceptance by the church, and which had the blessings of some 80 to 95% of extant Greek manuscripts or texts now in our existence. We'll continue this. Tune in again at our next broadcast, please. And now, Gospel Declaration. Would you turn with me, please, to Romans, the book of Romans, and particularly chapter 3 and verse 24. Romans 3 and verse 24. Paul the Apostle writes to the Christians at Rome and says, "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Romans 3:24. With these majestic words, after saying, "For all have sinned," Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." After saying that, Paul says, "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Paul says all have sinned, but then he also says the good news, the gospel, if we're ever to be justified, if we're ever to be declared as absolutely righteous in the sight of a holy God, and hence if we're ever to be saved, that's what the word justification means, my friend. If we're ever to be saved for all eternity, we must realize four things. In the first place, it is freely, that is, without any cause in us, that he saves us. Christ paid it all. Secondly, it is by his grace, getting us something we don't deserve. Not by our works, but by his grace. And then three, it's the basis of a redemption which was wrought on our behalf on the cross of Calvary as a sacrifice for our sins. And fourth, it is entirely through Jesus Christ, who as God's sinless, spotless, holy Lamb, took our home place on the cross, taking our death, our separation, our judgment. What a gospel and good news. Won't you trust Christ and do it now? Well, the time has come to say goodbye for today. Tune in again next Thursday at 8:30 in the morning to the Bible for Today News Report of the Air. Remember, ask for your free copy of our news report and our catalog, and Why the Bible for Today. Till the next time, remember God's love story. God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Won't you receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior now?